Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Strangers in the Wood. It is I, your most humble of game masters, your best friend, and future 30 under 30 media luminary.
Okay.
this is my new thing now. I realize that soon I will be 30 in a couple of years, so I need to really get on my grind. And yeah, 4 years, that's a couple of years.
That's not very soon. Yeah, I wouldn't call that soon.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I need to start building up.
You gotta start early.
I gotta start early.
That's
you
true.
Gotta start early.
I gotta start
See,
early.
We're already behind.
Yeah.
I need to I really need to become a famous musician pretty soon so I can die at 27 like all the good musicians.
Exactly, you understand. Yeah. Gus,
I only got a year, you know. I'm running out of time here.
Well, hopefully the music
so share this podcast with everyone. Yes. You know.
Exactly, we need a hype. Gus,
do it for Gus.
Certainly put me on the level of all the legends in the 27 Club.
Exactly.
All these rock stars and this one guy who wrote music for a podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's the future of the music industry. I'm Kendrick, by the way. Or
oh,
Kendo.
Hey.
Yeah, or Kendo if you prefer. You can find me on all social media at Kendo Makes Films. You can also find this podcast at Tales Yet Told on Twitter and Instagram. And well, you're already listening to us, so like, thank you so
Good
much.
Good job.
With me here today on this wonderful podcast, this very special episode of Strangers in the Wood, I have, as always, my wonderful guests and like players and friends. Gus?
Hi, I'm Gus. I am on this podcast and I do music. And I use he, him pronouns. And I'm a Leo. I enjoy, this is a dumb bit. I'm done with
also,
it.
Also,
walks on the beach.
Also with me today is Hilda.
Oh yeah, that's me. Hi, I'm Hilda. Gosh, I have completely blanked because I was too invested in the bit as well.
What are your pronouns and where can people
find
you on social
okay.
media?
my pronouns are she, her. You can find my cat on Instagram. His name is Elliot at Elliot the Kitty Cat. That's Elliot with two L's and two T's. And I'm an Aquarius. So, pretty wild.
Wild. I guess since we're all saying it, I'm a Pisces. I don't know what that means.
That explains a
everything.
Lot.
Everything.
What does it explain?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
Everybody leave a comment about what this explains about each of us.
Yeah.
Now that you know our astrological signs.
Send us a tweet at Tales Yet Told.
Yeah.
At us and let us know what you think our astrological signs say about the characters we play and the stories we tell. Okay. Let's introduce Jake. Jake is our editor.
Yeah. Hi, Jake.
Very great guy.
Jake, put some wacky sound effects in here to indicate your presence.
That was a wacky sound effect.
That was great. I love that. But yeah, Jake is joining us on the crew and taking over some editing duties. So that has really helped out a lot. So give him some love. You can find him on Instagram at base, Jake. Yeah, so that's that. Today we are continuing our game of Epitaph. We finished our setup session last week, as you heard. And this week we will be getting right into talking about the death of Dorothy Reed. I think I forgot to mention last time, but Epitaph is a game by Mark Hobbs. Yeah, let's just kind of do like a quick recap for ourselves and for everybody listening. We have built a theoretical timeline from the birth to the death of Dorothy Reed as kind of representative of the VHS tape that Dorothy has been given back at the church and is watching, which is real fucked up if you think about it. So yeah, we can just kind of go back. Let's just kind of talk about what is on this timeline and this graph. And of course, we'll post an image of what this looks like for everybody on our Twitter and Instagram page, so you can go there and see it. Hilda or Gus, do one of you all want to read the little title part up here?
This is Dorothy Reed. She uses she, her pronouns. She was born on September 21st, 2012, and lived until September 20th, 2051. Her main desire in life is to be loved, and her main goal is to establish a good relationship with her siblings. And it is a goal that she does accomplish in her life.
Wonderful. Gus, yeah, do you want to read her cause of death?
Oh, man. Yeah, I guess I do. So, Dorothy dies, as we said, September 20th, 2051, at 39 years old. She freezes to death in a snowstorm after an accident on the way back from a successful job interview.
The night before her 40th birthday.
Yeah, oof, man, we are monsters.
And tentatively established also that the reason she gets found is because she didn't show up to her surprise party. That was also a thing that was discussed. I just feel like that needs to be known.
Yeah, no, 100%. It should be known. The saddest surprise party. Oh, what if that's the song they were playing as well? They had it like ready where it would like start going off like as she
Gus,
came
you need
in.
To compose a sad version of that song, like a minor key or whatever.
Don't tempt me. I will do this.
That sounds really good personally.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to read these palette cards. This first one is The Departed, which is just information that we know about Dorothy that we can use to inform kind of the way that we guide this. So first thing, she likes painting. She specifically did paint by numbers with her blood sibling, Hazel. Men, big trouble, spooky, times three. She does not like men. A lot of the men in her life, specifically adult men, have been bad. She has a lingering attachment to Hazel, her birth sister, that we kind of talked about. She is curious. She likes getting into stuff. She questions things around her. Dorothy can also be cruel. She can be a little selfish and in doing so, not necessarily directly causing harm, but maybe passively allowing harm to happen to others. She allows her fears to limit her experiences. She's a scaredy cat, and she is healing. She's growing. She's changing over time, learning to get past her trauma, which is, you know, good for her. Hilda, do you want to read the setting?
Sure. The settings that we have established are her time in the foster care system, her life after school, her life with the Abbots, perhaps. Her life trying to get a job or working what we wrote down was a low wage hourly job, and then wrote after it that people suck. Those were some of the general settings that we came up with. So
yeah, Gust, you can read the key people then.
Yeah. So the key people that we're sort of going to be working with here are the Abbots who we all know. The foster parents. We have Dakota, who again you should probably all know by now. But we also have Hazel, Dorothy's estranged sister. We have Silas and Hannah Reed. Dorothy's abusive birth parents. We have Morgan Gray, Dorothy's supportive art teacher. We have Hugo Chambers, who is Dorothy's best friend and like kind of will they won't they kind of relationship. Yeah. And then we have Alexis Grace Harper, a friend of Dorothy's who's much more manipulative.
But that's essentially, you know, this is going to be the foundation for which we build the rest of our story. And our timeline here is split into essentially four quadrants, starting from September 1st, 2012, going into 2015. So from the time that she is born up until the time she is 5 years old. And then from 2015...
Hey... That timeline doesn't add up.
It does not add up. I agree. It's supposed to be 2017.
Sweet.
Awesome. So going from birth year of September 21st, 2012, to 5 years old at 2017, and then the second quadrant being from 5 years old to 18 years old from 2017 to 2030, and then the third quadrant is from 18 to 22, from 2030 to 2034, and then the last one is from 22 to 39, from 2034 to 2051, September 20th, 2051. And essentially each of us are going to be taking turns establishing scenes, snapshots, and remembrances of different events on this timeline. And when we start, I believe each of us has to add a snapshot just to get some events on the board. And then from there, we can, you know, do it however long. So it is now time for us to begin. And we have to decide who goes first. You will be setting the tone and placing the foundation for the rest of the game. Who has it in them?
The first snapshot that I will put in is in high school. We see a gallery full of different pieces of artwork.
Describe what the event is. Just like
the event is sure. The event is an art show that Dorothy won a prize in high school at the prompting of her art teacher.
Gotcha.
To enter.
How old is Dorothy?
Dorothy is, let's say, a junior in high school.
That'd be in 2028.
Yes. Is there anything else I should describe about it?
Now you can describe the actual snapshot.
Okay, so the snapshot is a gallery full of different pieces of artwork. And in kind of the center of this wall, there's a painting. It's pretty abstract, but it's of a landscape. And you can see that there is a ribbon hung next to it that is a second prize, and that there is a little certificate that says she won second prize in this art contest, has won some sum of money as well, nothing large, but something that some incentive. And next to that picture is Dorothy. She is standing with her artwork, looking a little embarrassed to be in the picture, but also very proud. And she is standing with her art teacher, Morgan Gray.
Aww, what a sweet moment.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
I'm sure this whole thing's just gonna be
It's sweet only going to get sunnier. Like yes.
Yeah. Only going to get sunnier.
Hey, I got to start it somewhere nice.
Now that you've established your snapshot, you must answer the question. If the departed could look back just before they died, what would this moment mean to them?
It would mean the world to them. It's the moment that she decided that she wanted to pursue art and started to believe in the fact that she could.
Gotcha. I like that. What does Dorothy think of this moment? I think it'll be more interesting for us if we answer it from the point of view of the Dorothy who was watching the tape.
Dorothy finds it really surprising that somebody believed in her enough and pushed her to do something that she really enjoyed.
I like that. Gus, do you want to do our second snapshot?
All right, that's the end of the podcast. We had a happy moment. Wow. And we're just gonna...
That was the end. Thanks for listening, everyone.
No.
It's mid-roll time. You know what it is. It's your boy, Kendo. I don't know what that voice is, so I'm going to stop doing it. But thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It means literally so much to us that you take any amount of time in your day to listen to this thing that we put together so lovingly just for you. And I mean, you've made it with us this far. Like what? We're like 20 something episodes in. I imagine you at least kind of like this show, which is amazing to me. But also, you could be letting other people know how you feel about this podcast by leaving us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, like literally wherever you're listening to it right now. I would imagine on like some kind of podcatcher, it probably has a way to review us. You can take a couple of seconds right now that I know you're probably drowning me out right now. No one listens to mid-rolls. I see the analytics. You could be taking this time right now to be giving us a rating review, and that's just another way for you to tell us and other people how you feel about this podcast. You could also tweet at us at Tales Yet Told, or go to our Instagram and like DM us also at Tales Yet Told, because that's brand recognition right there. You could also just tell your friends about us if you like us, because I mean, we don't put any money into like advertising this, so really the only way it's going to spread is through word of mouth, and we love hearing people talk about what's going on in the show. And well, you know, we like talking to you about what's going on in the show, so that would be pretty cool. Because you could do all of that on social media. That's what it's for, I imagine. And last but not least, I want to give a huge shout out, as always, to the Be Gay Roll Dice Network, which has opened itself with flowing arms? Open arms? They've let us join their group of queers who are making podcast content for tabletop nerds just like you, telling amazing stories by queers for queers and other people if they want to listen. I think I have an ad for them that's coming up pretty soon, so it'll probably be in the next couple of seconds. So I'm just going to round this off here by reminding you to eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself, because self-care is very important. And don't forget to love yourself like I love you.
Hi, welcome to The Game is Afoot. This is a podcast where queer guests...
I'm back, baby!
...play games.
I pick my jaw up off the floor real quick.
Real quick.
Put that back on.
And do an interview.
My secret is...
This is published on the first and third Sunday of every month, so come join us. And I hope you have a good time. Bye!
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega-prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive hollow foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
the Badlands. Legend has it that beneath the dust, something old and powerful still whispers to any gunslinger foolish enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three unlucky travelers hear that call. A runaway socialite, a shape-shifting bounty hunter, and a retired thief turned family man. Will our outcasts find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here. Let's have a little fun.
You really went in there, guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are miraculous.
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume. Sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence.
Find out on Mage Hand High Five.
How about we move from sort of that snapshot of this sort of like hope of an ideal future to Dorothy in her early 20s.
Okay.
And I think she is working as we have written down, a low wage hourly job.
Okay.
And you know what she's doing? She's working in a sandwich shop, and just like, you know, one of those sandwich shops.
Oh, one of those like gourmet sandwich shops.
One of those gourmet sandwich shops.
They do like pizza, salad, soups, and sandwiches.
Yeah, all good stuff. Yeah. All don't eat the meatballs. They're weird.
No, they're really soggy. It's like it's super watery. Yeah.
The water turns like green. No. I'm not sure what that's about.
It's really weird. Not that we're talking about anything we personally experienced.
Not that we have any experience or are referring to any particular sandwich shop
of course,
at all.
No sort of underground sandwich shop, correct?
No.
Nothing, yeah. Especially nothing named after a food.
Yeah, not at all. Mm. A food man. So this is... This is Dorothy working at the Cucumber Man sandwich shop. I think the particular, like this particular moment is like we see Dorothy in her like uniform for the shop, and she is I think we see like a bunch of like customers lined up, and I think we see one like at the register that is like yelling. But Dorothy has been like pulled into the back and is essentially being yelled at by her boss. I think that's what we see.
Can I add something to it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I kind of just like the imagery of, it's not even like a back room. It's just like, you're going to know exactly what I'm about to describe. It's just back,
absolutely.
Past the sinks, over by like the freezer, like in the back where they keep like the cleaning supplies. It's like not an office. It's just like anybody could walk by right now.
Anybody could walk back there. Like most likely... the majority of the customers in this store can see and hear this happening.
Oh, for sure. As we ask with all snapshots, what does the Dorothy, and Hilda, you can give some insight into this, obviously. What does the Dorothy that is watching this, what does this moment mean to her?
Can you describe the manager real quick?
This is a, like very, very large man. Very, like, very tall and... very, very broad and very heavy, just like a huge guy, kind of greasy, and not like in a not even in a like works in fast food kind of way, but just like in a Severus Snape kind of way.
General hygiene kind of way. Just
like, looks like he could slide on the floors with his socks off.
Oh.
This is so weird, because this was actually happening last time, too, when we were trying to come up with names. The name I can't get out of my head, and this is the same name that came up last time, like for any character, was Clyde.
Clyde? It can be Clyde.
Clyde works. Ugh. I don't know. I don't know why I have Clyde
do
on the
want
brain.
Do you last name or do just we just want Clyde? We got someone here that are only first name, so we can do Clyde.
Sure, yeah.
He, him. Our descriptor was a greasy boss.
Huge greasy boss. Which sounds like a randomly generated phrase.
Sounds like the name of my team for a round of Super Auto Pets.
For Super Auto Pets, yeah.
They are Dorothy's greasy boss. Big guy. How does Dorothy feel about watching that?
She feels affirmed in her position of not trusting anybody like that.
Understood.
And seeing that, like, that continues on into adulthood.
Mm-hmm. It is now my turn to add a snapshot. I'm going to do one in our first quadrant that Dorothy has actually experienced in her life. This event is going to be a car ride from school, a ride from preschool. Her dad has picked her up. They drive this van. It's one of those, like, almost like soccer mom vans where it's like got the sliding door on the side, you know. This is a day your mom is like forced your dad to come pick you up from school. The van is like full of like his tools and stuff. Like all of the back seats are like down. Like he was supposed to like cut somebody's grass or something that day. So there's like the lawnmower, like a bunch of like trimming equipment and so on and so forth. But he also has the dog with him, and the dog is in the back seat with you. And it's a van where like the seats are like individual. So you're not like sharing like a long seat in that way. But like that means that there is room for the dog to be up and like moving around, and the window on the other side of you, the window on your side is rolled down, and the dog keeps coming to like bark at people that are like, or like at cars that are passing by, which means it has to like climb over you to get its head out of the window. And so the snapshot is from the perspective of the opposite side of Dorothy, looking towards the window that is the closest to her, so like right on her right. She is like cowering back in the seat as this huge
Doberman,
thank you, as this huge Doberman is like leaning out of the window barking at like passersby. And like because it's like from Dorothy's perspective, it's super loud. And like your dad, rather than trying to stop the dog, he's just turned the music up to kind of try to block it out. He's listening to like some talk radio. It's like a Alex Jones type men on their podcast going on about some bullshit that doesn't matter.
Cool.
Not like our podcast. Yeah. But it's like that, so it's like over. So like it's like in the background, it's just like a bunch, it's like two white dudes being like, well, did you know they did that? I didn't know. Well, you see, I looked that up. If you actually look at those details, something's not adding up. And it's like just the most asinine white men trying to give their opinions on stuff they know nothing about, like blasting over this Doberman, like yelling and like and like barking, climbing over, and you're like trying to cower as it's like trying to claw itself out the window, but it's closed just enough so that it can't get out, but open enough that it can be frustrated about it. And so yeah, that's the snapshot. I'm gonna say that this is probably, it's, I feel like it has to be close to you being five. Let's say you're four. I might have to update.
Definitely no car seat to be seen either.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely not. This is taking place in 2016. What's your dad's name again?
Silas. And the dog's name is Major.
Cool. So we have some stuff. We've established some things. Now we can just keep going in the same rotation. Hilda, Gus, me.
I'm going to do another snapshot.
Okay.
Because I really I had a really good idea for one. Mm-hmm. This is in that first quadrant as well, so it's something that Dorothy has experienced.
Okay.
She's probably like, I'm gonna say that she's newly five. Like, this is very soon before she was seized by CPS. And it is a picture of Dorothy and Hazel. Dorothy is in Hazel's bed. They're like sitting under the covers with like a covered flashlight. You can see the two of them making a pinky promise with each other. And if this picture had like a little like title under it, mm-hmm. it would be Hazel and Dots Forever.
Aww. What year is this again?
It's in 2017.
So she is five, or is this before?
She's like newly five, let's say.
Okay, cool. So we can just put it.
It's pretty soon before, yeah.
What does Dorothy make of this scene?
It's one of her like core memories of Hazel. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that kind of keeps current Dorothy hopeful and pushing towards finding Hazel again.
Yeah.
Because they were supposed to be a pair.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Gus?
This would be in the last quadrant.
Okay.
We see Dorothy in her car, not having left yet, but she is talking on the phone.
With who?
Do we want to leave it ambiguous who Ooh. She's talking to?
I'm okay with that.
But she looks happy. She's smiling. I think she's even like a little teary-eyed. And I think maybe we see like maybe the phone is on low battery. You know, outside it's starting to become overcast and cold.
All right, it is my turn. I'm gonna keep this ball rolling. I'm gonna do a snapshot. The day is October 1st, 2012. Mm-hmm. Dorothy is not even a month old. She is like 2 weeks old. The image we see is, I think the actual photograph is of Silas in the bed holding a baby Dorothy swaddled in a blanket. The title in the picture would be Daddy Daughter Time. And in the actual like 3D version of this, Hannah is taking the picture, Dorothy's mom. She is maybe like 5-6 feet away from the bed, is taking the picture on her phone. You know, she has only recently gotten out of the hospital. It's like a sweet moment of, you know, these aren't like new parents. They've already had a daughter. But, you know, like the birth of a child is still kind of big. We see Silas like holding on to Dorothy, looking down. Like he's got like his finger like close to like her face. Like he's like, you know, doing the thing. Like Dorothy's eyes open, like burble out some sounds. He smiles, they laugh, and yeah, that is the image. I think this is like the first picture of Dorothy. I forgot to ask it with the last one, so we can do Gus's first and then mine. What does Dorothy think upon seeing the scene of, you know, her getting the her like just after getting this big position or job or whatever it was, passing the interview on this phone call, really happy, but the ominous tone of something seems like it's gonna go bad. She's like 3 hours into this movie and it's like something's gotta give.
What's gonna happen?
Yeah.
I mean, I think with like the way that like the trajectory goes, where like she hits this is the high point, this is the like wow, things will work out, things will go great.
Oh, tragic.
She's seven. She can't notice all the terrible details. She's
for
like
sure, for sure.
Wow, it all works out.
Man, all right.
Yeah.
How does she feel about the scene of her with her dad? I almost kind of feel like this is maybe like the first scene, right? Like titles, like over like a dark, either like over black or over like fucking like artsy, like It's September, so it's like fall, like aesthetic, trees, leaves falling, the town she grew up in fading, mm-hmm. music softly playing, coming into this soft image of like immediately like her as a baby with her dad and her mom, and this moment that probably feels strangely sweeter than any memory she actually has of time with them.
Well, that, if it's a photo that she's familiar with, she's repulsed by this. She hates this.
Mm-hmm.
She hates that the movie's opened like this. Mm-hmm. She's already like, do I turn this off?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Hilda.
Is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Second quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
A snapshot.
Nice.
High school graduation.
Okay.
Everything is generally over. She's still in like her cap and gown and everything. She's wandered back. I imagine that it's a not like a small high school, but like only decent sized.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to like hold graduation in the gym or whatever. Like they were able to have it at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And she's wandered after all the ceremonies and such back to the art room and is there with Hugo.
What is this scene?
This scene is a dimly lit art room. It's not like they like it's just got like the couple of fluorescents that just like stay on. They haven't turned on the lights in this room. There's just like, you know, the one that's always on. They both came to just like reminisce in this room because it's where they met and it's where they became really good friends and all of that. And now they're graduating and going off into the world. And someone was to look closely at this photo. Both participants are blushing.
What would Dorothy think looking at this image?
She'd think it was really sweet. And she'd be excited about the fact that she'd have a good friend
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yes?
I thought of something kind of funny, maybe. I don't know.
Go for it.
No, I think it's good. I think it's a snapshot. I think this would be in our fourth quadrant here. Dorothy is 27. I think we're just in a nice coffee shop where Dorothy has met up with her friend from work, Alexis Grace Harper.
Mm-hmm.
Alexis has already bought Dorothy a coffee. Didn't ask what she wanted. Just ordered for her. And I think Dorothy is like, I think Alexis is smiling and laughing, and Dorothy is having also like is also smiling, but it's a much more forced smile. And we also see on the floor next to Alexis is a bag that she has brought with her, full of products, amazing products from Vitatrition, and she is about to tell her good friend Dorothy how she could be her own boss, working.
And set her own schedule.
That's so good. What does Dorothy think seeing this scene?
Does Dorothy know what an MLM is?
But yeah, no, that's a good question. Like, thinking of this moment, does Dorothy realize what this moment is?
I don't think so. I don't think she sees the manipulation that might be happening, or the attempt, at least, to manipulate. She just sees a friend in the future getting coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is just a good scene.
Just a good scene.
Yeah.
For current Dorothy. Like,
I agree.
Yeah. Does not completely misses the nuance of this snapshot.
Yeah. We've been too lighthearted here.
Oh god.
We have to remember what this video is about. We've got
baby.
You're right.
I am going to do a snapshot. Dorothy is in her room at the Abbott's packing her things. You know, we see her, she's got her all of her suitcases, probably just like one or two. I imagine She doesn't have a lot. She's pretty used to moving, so she's kept things down to the amount of stuff she would need in case, you know, very quick. Pack up takes like a couple of hours maybe at tops, and then she's ready to move. She's kind of used to having to do that. We see Grace is in the door frame, arms crossed, head down. She looks disappointed. We can tell there's a part of her that really, really, really wants to get up, go over, help Dorothy pack up to comfort her in some way. But there's something stopping her. It's hard to tell. Could be shame, guilt, you know, pride. Something is stopping her from going to talk. And Dorothy just kind of has like this blank face. Like she has the face of like she's masking right now. Like maybe even she might be dissociating right now. It's just like on autopilot doing packing up, getting ready to move as quiet and quick as she possibly can. What does Dorothy think watching that moment?
She's crestfallen. She has all her eggs in the Abbott's basket right now. So the idea that it would inevitably not work out is heartbreaking.
All right, Hilda.
I'll go with a remembrance from Morgan Gray regarding that art contest. Is it first person or is it third person?
It is first
feels really
person.
Weird to go first person. All right. Okay. I remember seeing a scared kid who didn't know that they had anything to offer or contribute, that they didn't have any purpose or talent. And she did have a talent and she needed a direction. And so I needed to give her that direction and nourish that talent so that something in this kid's life could be a refuge and stable. And I just wanted everything to work out for her.
What was the hardest part of getting to this moment with Dorothy?
The hardest part was knowing that even with my support, the world would try to continue tearing her down.
What does Dorothy think about watching it?
She feels really happy that there was somebody in her life that supported and wanted the best for her without any conditions.
Be gay.
Roll dice.
An LGBTQIA actual play podcast network.